Hello and welcome to In the News. I'm Chris. This is Rick Anderson, and I'll be reading selected stories from the New York Times Science Edition as of March 13, 2024. Our first story says, with cyber attack fix weeks away, health providers slam united. Hospitals, doctors, and clinics express frustration that they will have to wait even longer for reimbursement after hackers paralyzed the largest U.S. billing clearinghouse. The story is by Reed Abelson and Julie Cresswell. More than 2 weeks after a cyber attack, financially strapped doctors, hospitals, and medical providers on last Friday sharply criticized United Health Group's latest estimate that it would take weeks to fully restore a digital network that funnels hundreds of millions of dollars in insurance payments every day. United Health said that it would be at least 2 weeks more to test and establish a steady flow of payments for bills that have mounted since hackers effectively shut down Change Healthcare, the nation's largest billing and payment clearinghouse, on February 21st. But desperate providers that have been borrowing money to cover expenses and employee payrolls expressed skepticism at that estimate, worrying that it could be months before the logjam of claims and payments cleared up. We have nearly a three-week gap in cash flow, said Brad Larson, a psychologist and founder of Portland Mental Health and Wellness in Oregon, adding that the group had received only about 10% of its expected insurance payments. He said the practice had to borrow $300,000 to meet its first of two payrolls for the month. He said, "It's not good." In an apparent move to mollify some providers who had expressed disappointment at United's earlier remedy of a loan program that offered stopgap payments for as little as $20 a week, the parent company agreed to issue advances. United announced that its insurer, the largest in the United States, would begin advancing payments to hospitals and doctors based on amounts billed before the cyber attack. And given that Change manages one of every three U.S. patient records, amounting to 15 billion transactions a year, the cyber attacks affected not only United's clients, but also those of many other insurers. That led United Health's executive to recommend that they also offer advances. "To me, that is the quickest way to get money in the hands of providers," Dirk McMahon, United's president and chief operating officer, said in an interview. The depth of the cyber attack, which paralyzed billings and payments from the simplest prescriptions at a drugstore to the most expensive surgeries, has rattled the industry and government. Some have expressed concerns that the worst is far from over, fearing that the ransomware attack compromised patient data. United Health Group has declined to comment on whether the information of its insured, whether financial or medical, or whether through coverage at pharmacies, hospitals, or clinics, had been hacked. Its only response has been to say that it is continuing to work with law enforcement agencies on an investigation of the attack. The FBI and U.S. cybersecurity experts have been conducting an inquiry. On March 1, a Bitcoin address connected to the suspected hackers, a group known as Alpha V or Black Cat, received a $22 million transaction that some security firms said was probably a ransom payment made by United to the group, according to a news article in Wired. United declined to comment, as did Recorded Future, the security firm that initially spotted the payment. United has not been forthcoming about what information has been released to the hackers, said Ed Tilley, a licensed clinical social worker in Charlotte, North Carolina. Among the information he typically submits for billing on the Change Network is a patient's date of birth and diagnosis. "If my patient's identifying information has been disclosed, I feel an obligation to tell them," he said. Since the cyber attack became public, United Health Group's stock has declined by 7.7%. United Health Group said payments would start to become available only around March 15, and that it would begin testing and establishing the connections, allowing hospitals and doctors to submit claims the week of March 18. But Mr. McMahon acknowledged that this time frame could change. "We're in a very fluid environment," he said. "We're hustling like crazy to bring these systems up," Mr. McMahon said. While most pharmacy transaction groups appear to be resolved, he suggested that hospitals and doctors should continue to find workarounds. Yet for some providers, that has meant moving to Change's competitors, which are now flooded with new claims and struggling to manage an increased workload. "I submitted a few claims to the new system, which took me a couple of hours, and then I was like, where are they? And this bubble popped up saying, no one can respond to you right now," said Angela Belleville, a mental health counselor in Salem, Massachusetts. "I tried again yesterday, and the system was completely frozen." Other major insurers have been largely silent on whether they would issue advances, as Mr. McMahon suggested, or offer relief. The story continues in that same vein, and so we will leave that one and move on to another one. Our next story is of a science nature, but not as deep as we usually go, when it says, Pentagon review finds no evidence of alien cover-up. But the new report suggests that the public's belief that the government is hiding what it knows will probably continue. The story is by Julian Barnes. In the mid-1960s, secret test flights of advanced government spy planes generated UFO sightings. More recently, government and commercial drones, new kinds of satellites, and errant weather balloons have led to a renaissance in unusual observations. But, according to a new report, none of these sightings were of alien spacecraft. The new congressionally mandated Pentagon report found no evidence that the government was covering up knowledge of extraterrestrial technology and said there was no evidence of any UFO sightings represented alien visitation to Earth. The 63-page document is the most sweeping rebuttal the Pentagon has issued in recent years to counter claims that it has information on extraterrestrial visits or technology. But amid widespread distrust of the government, the report is unlikely to calm a growing obsession with aliens. Major General Patrick Ryder, a Defense Department spokesman, said the Pentagon approached the report with an open mind and no preconceived notions, but simply found no evidence to back up claims of secret programs, hidden alien technology, or anything else extraterrestrial. All investigative efforts at all levels of classification concluded that most sightings were ordinary objects and phenomena and the result of misidentification, General Ryder said in a statement. While many reports of what the government now calls unidentified anomalous phenomena remain unsolved, the new document states plainly, there is nothing to see. The Pentagon's All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office concluded that if better quality data were available, most of these cases also would be identified and resolved as ordinary objects or phenomena. Because of that missing data, Pentagon officials in the past have often been reluctant to speak clearly about various incidents, saying they lack information to draw a conclusion. But in the absence of conclusions, conspiracy theories have flourished, even as scientists and independent investigators made the case that optical illusions, weather phenomena, scientific balloons, or drones were reasonable causes of nearly all of the unexplained incidents. The report also challenges the accounts of whistleblowers and former government officials who have said the United States is hiding evidence of aliens or extraterrestrial material from the public. Pentagon has, over time, tried to chip away at such claims. Officials have testified to Congress that the government has no extraterrestrial materials, much less a spaceship, in its possession. The Pentagon and NASA have used basic trigonometry to show why publicized military videos do not show anything extraordinary or alien. The report will not be the last word. Congress has mandated a second report by the Pentagon and passed a measure last year ordering the National Archives to declassify more records. NASA and the U.S. intelligence agencies are looking at ways to collect more comprehensive data about unexplained sightings, but none of these efforts are likely to deviate from the broad conclusions stated on Friday. Progress in debunking misinformation about UFOs has been slowed by various changes in the task force looking into the matter. Congress has charged the Pentagon's current group, the All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, or AARO, with a historical review of the evidence. The office has not found any empirical evidence that reported sightings represent off-world technology or any classified program that had not been reported to Congress, the report concludes. Nevertheless, the public is unlikely to be swayed. Many people dismiss the government's claims that nothing interesting is going on in Pentagon videos that appear to show strange objects, citing accounts by U.S. Navy pilots that they observed objects whose movements cannot be easily explained. The new report notes in the past, particularly in the 1950s, that there was interest in UFOs, but today the attention is on unexplained sightings, and that is greater than ever. The Pentagon, treading gently and writing with precise language, concludes that declining public trust in government and the speed in which misinformation now spreads has made it more difficult to rebut claims of extraterrestrial visits. Citing a 2021 Gallup poll, the Pentagon said that exposure to the topic through traditional and social media has increased the number of Americans who believe UFO sightings are extraterrestrial in origins. Aside from hoaxes and forgeries, misinformation and disinformation is more prevalent and easier to disseminate now than ever before, especially with today's advanced photo, video, and computer-generated imagery tools. The report found internet search and content recommendation algorithms serve to reinforce individuals' preconceptions and confirmed biases just as much as to help educate and inform. The report notes that in the 1950s, many UFO reports were driven by public sightings or classified government programs. The report lists government programs including the Manhattan Project and the secret development of the Air Force's stealth drone, the RQ-170, that may have contributed to increased reports of unidentified objects or phenomena. There are former government officials who firmly believe the United States has information about aliens or have heard reports about secret programs to study extraterrestrial technology. Those former officials have been star witnesses at congressional hearings. As part of the investigation, the Pentagon interviewed people who made claims to Congress that they had direct knowledge about a government cover-up, and others who were said to have corroborating information. An overview of their accounts makes plain that most of the reports of alien technology are at best secondhand, and none of the firsthand reports were corroborated by other witnesses. Nevertheless, the Pentagon investigated the claims and so far found nothing to back them up. In contrast, it collected on-the-record refutations from other witnesses. The report said the office would continue to investigate and report further claims in a second volume. Pentagon has also looked into classified and sensitive government programs that whistleblowers have suggested were involved with examining captured alien spacecraft. Pentagon concluded that while many of these programs represent authentic, current, or former sensitive national security programs, none of them were involved with capturing or reverse engineering extraterrestrial technology. So, what about real technology? Our next story says Voyager 1, first craft in interstellar space, may have gone dark. The 46-year-old probe, which flew by Jupiter and Saturn in its youth and inspired Earthlings with images of the planet as a pale blue dot hasn't sent usable data from interstellar space in months. The story is by Orlando Mayorkin. When Voyager 1 launched in 1977, scientists hoped it could do what it was built to do and take close-up images of Jupiter and Saturn. It did that, and much more. Voyager 1 discovered active volcanoes, moons, and planetary rings, proving along the way that Earth and all of humanity could be squished into a single pixel in a photograph. A pale blue dot, as astronomer Carl Sagan called it, it stretched a 4-year mission into the present day, embarking on the deepest journey ever into space. Now it may have bid its final farewell to that faraway dot, Voyager 1. The farthest man-made object in space hasn't sent coherent data to Earth since November. NASA has been trying to diagnose what the Voyager mission's project manager, Suzanne Dodd, called the most serious issue of the robotic probe has faced since she took the job in 2010. The spacecraft encountered a glitch in one of its computers that has eliminated its ability to send engineering and science data back to Earth. The loss of Voyager 1 would cap decades of scientific breakthroughs and signal the beginning of the end for a mission that has given shape to humanity's most distant ambition and inspired generations to look to the skies. Scientifically, it's a big loss, Ms. Dodd said. I think emotionally, it's maybe even a bigger loss. Voyager 1 is one half of the Voyager mission. It has a twin spacecraft, Voyager 2. Launched in 1977, they were primarily built for a 4-year trip to Jupiter and Saturn, expanding on other flybys by the Pioneer 10 and 11 probes. The Voyager mission capitalized on a rare alignment of the outer planets once every 175 years, allowing the probes to visit all four. Using the gravity of each planet, the Voyager spacecraft could swing onto the next. According to NASA, the mission to Jupiter and Saturn was a success. The 1980 flybys yielded several new discoveries, including new insights about the so-called Great Red Spot on Jupiter, the rings around Saturn, and the many moons of each planet. Voyager 2 also explored Uranus and Neptune, becoming in 1989 the only spacecraft to ever explore all four planets. Voyager 1, meantime, has set a course for deep space, using its camera to photograph the objects it was leaving behind along the way. Voyager 2 would later begin its own trek into deep space. Anybody who is interested in space is interested in the things Voyager discovered about the outer planets and their moons, said Kate Howells, the public education specialist at the Planetary Society, an organization co-founded by Dr. Sagan to promote space exploration. But I think the pale blue dot was one of the things that was sort of more poetic and touching, she added. On Valentine's Day 1990, Voyager 1, darting 3.7 billion miles away from the sun toward the outer reaches of the solar system, turned around and snapped a photo of Earth that Dr. Sagan and others understood to be a humbling self-portrait of humanity. It's known the world over, and it continues to connect humanity to the stars, Ms. Dodd said of the mission. She added, I've had many, many, many people come up to me and say, wow, I love Voyager. It's what got me excited about space. It's what got me thinking about our place here on Earth and what that means. Ms. Howells, 35, counts herself among those people. About 10 years to celebrate the beginning of her space career, Ms. Howells spent her first paycheck from the Planetary Society to get a Voyager tattoo. Those spacecraft all kind of look the same, she said. More people recognize the tattoo than she anticipated. I think that speaks to how famous Voyager is, she said. The Voyagers made their mark on popular culture, inspiring highly intelligent Voyager 6 in Star Trek, the motion picture, and references on The X-Files and The West Wing. Even as more advanced probes were launched from Earth, Voyager 1 continue to reliably enrich our understanding of space. In 2012, it became the first man-made object to exit the heliosphere, space around the solar system directly influenced by the sun. There is a technical debate among scientists around whether Voyager 1 has actually left the solar system, but nonetheless became interstellar, traversing the space between stars. That charted a new path for heliophysics, which looks at how the sun influences the space around it. In 2018, Voyager 2 followed its twin beneath the stars. Before Voyager 1, scientific data on the sun's gases and material came only from within the heliosphere's confines, according to Dr. Jamie Rankin, Voyager's deputy project scientist. And so now we can, for the first time, kind of connect the inside-out view from the outside in, Dr. Rankin said. That's the big part of it, she added. The other half is simply that a lot of this material can't be measured any other way than sending a spacecraft out there. Voyager 1 and 2 are the only such spacecraft. Before it went offline, Voyager 1 had been studying an anomalous disturbance in the magnetic field and the plasma particles in interstellar space. Nothing else is getting launched to go out there, Ms. Dodd said. So that's why we're spending the time and being careful about trying to recover this spacecraft, because the science is so valuable. But recovery means getting under the hood of an aging spacecraft more than 15 billion miles away, equipped with the technology of yesteryear. It takes 45 hours to exchange information with the craft. It has been repeated over the years that a smartphone has hundreds of thousands of times Voyager 1's memory, and that radio transmitter emits as many watts as a refrigerator light bulb. There was one analogy given that it's like trying to figure out where your cursor is on your laptop screen when your laptop screen doesn't work, she said. Her team is still holding out hope, she said, especially as the tantalizing 50th launch anniversary of 2027 approaches. Voyager 1 has survived glitches before, though none as serious. Voyager 2 is still operational, but aging. It has faced its own technical difficulties, too. NASA has already estimated that the nuclear-powered generators of both spacecrafts would likely die around 2025. Even if the Voyager interstellar mission is near its end, the Voyager still has far to go. Voyager 1 and its twin, each 40,000 years away from the next closest star, will arguably remain on an indefinite mission. If Voyager should sometime in the distant future encounter beings from other civilizations in space, Dr. Sagan said in a 1980 interview, each spacecraft carries a gold-plated phonograph record loaded with an array of sound recordings and images representing humanity's richness, its diverse cultures, and life on Earth, a gift across the cosmic ocean from one island of civilization to another, Dr. Sagan said. And in our final story, which we will no doubt shorten, for some mammals, large adult daughter, not sons, are the norm, despite a common narrative that male mammals tend to dwarf female ones. Fewer than half of mammalian species display that pattern, a new study suggests. The story is by Emily Anthes. Female elephant seals are not delicate creatures. They are rippling tubes of muscle and blubber that can weigh more than 1,000 pounds. Still, female elephant seals are absolutely dwarfed by their male counterparts, which are typically at least 3 times heavier. It is an extreme case of what is known as sexual size dimorphism, and one that fits within a long-standing narrative that male mammals tend to be larger than female ones. A new analysis of a diverse array of more than 400 mammalian species paints a completely more complex picture. Males outweigh females in 45% of mammalian species, scientists found. But in nearly as many, 39%, both sexes are the same mass. And in 16% of the species, females are the heavier sex. What we found out there is there is no norm, said Kaya Tombach, a postdoctoral researcher at Purdue University and an author of a new study which was recently published in Nature Communications. The conventional wisdom about male size may derive in part from biases in scientific literature, which have disproportionately focused on mammalian species in which larger males are common, Dr. Tombach said. It's not the first study to challenge the size narrative, which dates back to at least Charles Darwin in the 19th century, but it highlights the need to conduct more research into the varied mating systems, reproductive strategies, and evolutionary forces shaping mammals, scientists said. There is this disconnect between what the data is actually showing and these assumptions that a lot of people, including a lot of evolutionary biologists, have, said Catherine Sherrod, who is an evolutionary biologist at the University of Aberdeen in Scotland and was not involved in this research. There is a well-established theoretical basis for the idea that male mammals would evolve to be larger than their female counterparts. The idea is that because female mammals invest so much in their offspring, they are the choosier sex. As a result, males may have to compete with each other for mates. If these competitions involved physical conflict, it could fuel selection for the bigger and stronger males. With elephant seals, for example, males face off in brutal physical bouts to access the large harems of females. Only a tiny percentage of males, the biggest and strongest on the beach, get the opportunity to mate. That male-male competition dynamic is quite common in mammals, said Dr. Tombach, who conducted the study as a postdoctoral researcher at Hunter College. But it's not the only force, and not necessarily even the strongest force, acting on relative body size. Tombach and her two co-authors, both based at Princeton University, pulled from a variety of previous studies to compile and analyze detailed data about body mass of 429 mammalian species. Body mass is not the only measure of an animal's size, but it is widely used and easily available. The final selection of species was designed to capture the richness and diversity of mammalian life. They've gone for really high-quality data, for data breadth, Dr. Sherrod said. Larger males were most common in carnivores, primates, and even-toed hoofed animals, three categories of mammals that are often the focus on research on sex-based size differences, the researchers noted. For carnivores, 87% of the species included in the analysis had larger males than females. The same was true of 79% of even-toed hoofed animals and 62% of primates. But rodents and bats account for more than half of the mammalian species on the planet. And in 48% of rodent species in the study, males and females were the same size. Males were larger in 44% of rodent species. In 46% of bat species, females were the bigger sex. Male bats outweighed females in just 18% of the species. The diversity that bats and rodents represent is underappreciated and understudied. That may explain why the notion of males are generally larger in mammals has been so persistent. There are a variety of reasons that females might benefit from being big, Dr. Tombach said. What set bats apart from other mammals is that they fly, which requires an enormous amount of energy. Large females might be better equipped to carry their developing fetuses and young offspring through the air. More broadly, the big mother hypothesis outlined by biologist Catherine Rawls in the 1970s suggests that larger females have bigger young, which are more likely to survive and provide better nourishment and care. And that's all the time we have for today. This has been Rick Anderson reading selected stories from the New York Times Science Edition of March 13, 2024. Thanks for listening. Hope you liked it. And let's do it again